Are we aren't holding on hoof days on the days, 12 lines from the bottom. Now that we've been learning all about the ins and outs of Eva Menachai, now let's talk about another point called Bosser Menachai. So you have now what's the difference? Eva Menachai would mean a limb from a living animal. Bosser Menachai would mean flesh from a living animal. So basically, in other words, we can distinguish between, you have a limb, normally when you think of a limb, we usually think of an halacha that contains, as we've been discussing a few times, bosser gidim batzomis. It has flesh or muscles, and it has gidim, which is a general term that includes various long, skinny structures in the animal, nerves and blood vessels and tendons and ligaments and so forth, and atzomis and bones. And of course, now, of course, you have body parts that, don't have some of those. For example, the tongue doesn't have any bones in it. The lower leg doesn't have any flesh in it. It's basically the skin on top of the bone. So the Rambam draws a distinction and says that if the limb is as it is, whether it naturally contains bones or whether it doesn't, either way, that limb would be Eva Menachai, and then a piece off of that would be Bosser Menachai. The guy that disagrees and says that, for example, with the tongue, he says, what's really the difference between whether you have the complete tongue or part of it? Either way, it ought to be considered. So the Rambam says that if it just has bosser and gidim, but no atzamos, then the Rambam would say it's still considered an aver. But if you have a limb that has all three, bosser, gidim, batzomos, and then only flesh comes off it, then it would be considered bosser menachai. The Raivad says somewhat differently, that even if it doesn't have a bone in it, for example, the tongue, then it's going to depend, did you cut off all of it, or did you cut off part of it? So the whole thing would be eiver menachai, a part of it would be bosser menachai. And then we talk about, what about, for example, the lower leg, which doesn't have flesh. Anyway, so let's talk about those certainly. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when the pasuk says, 'Lo yisoifel ha'nefesh im ha'bosser,' the pasuk that we discussed yesterday, don't eat the soul together with the meat. Ze Eiv Menachai, that's the issue of Eiv Menachai, as we've been talking about all of them. On the other hand, and Rashi explains, the idea is because an aver is called nefesh, in the sense if you cut off an aver, it never regenerates. So it's like a nefesh, you take away the nefesh of an animal, you kill it, it's never going to come alive again. In the same way you remove an aver, it never comes back. Then when the pasuk says, a different pasuk, don't eat meat that is torn in the field, which of course is where we learn the issue of treifa, we learn earlier in the Masechta, it's also where we learn the issue of bosser sheyotza chutz l'mechitzasei, where meat was outside of where it's supposed to be, inside the pregnant animal or in the bais mikdash. We learned about that earlier in the Masechta. So zeh bosser menachai, so Rabbi Yochanan says, there also we learn the issue of bosser menachai, where you take off a piece of meat from the animal, but not an entire aver. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we learn those from two different subjects. So it means from there we learn that you can't eat meat from a living creature and also meat from a treif. But Rav Shimon, Lakish says, no, lo yisoif ha'nefesh im ha'bosser ze'ev menachai. Sure, I agree with that. Uvosser menachai. However, he says, bosser menachai is also learned from lo yisoif ha'nefesh im ha'bosser. He's going to say, don't eat the nefesh and don't eat the meat as long as they're together. So therefore, it's going to apply not only to a whole aver, which won't regenerate, it applies even to flesh, which might regenerate or at least might heal and develop scar tissue or whatever, but nevertheless, that's included because the Torah is telling you anytime there's nefesh and bosser together, don't eat them. And then when it says don't eat meat, someone in the field is a bosser and a treifa, that means specifically meat from a treifa animal. So they both agree, in short, that loisof on nefesh and a bosser is Avimanach, is the issue of Avimanach, and that the issue of bosser b'asad treifa refers to meat from a treifa animal. Look at this, about bosser menachai, would it be also, which grounds would it be also on? On the grounds of, is it part of loisof on nefesh and a bosser, or is it part of a bosser b'asad treifa loisof? Okay. So the Gemara points out, therefore, practical outcomes from that are, suppose a person ate all at one after the other, in one hasra, he ate a piece, he ate Avim and Achai, and he ate Vosim and Achai, the Rabbi Yechman, Chai of Shaim, so Rabbi Yechman, he would have to be Chai of two Malkas, because there were two different Yisrael, and he was over. Lord of Shimon and Lokish, and Achai of Alachas, was appointed as Shlokish, it would be only one. So Rashi explains, in other words, even though it's only one, even though it was all, he ate them one after the other, and there was all Asir, it was all one Asira, but it was two different Averis, and therefore he'd be Chayav two Malkas according to Rabbi Yochanan, but only one according to Rish Lakish. Because the fact is that Rish Lakish would say that it's only one lab, and it was one eating, and one Asira, so he can't be Chayav for more than one. Tosfos deals a little bit with details of what's called lav shebachlovos. Sometimes we have the Torah will tell us a generic lav that includes several things, and we say, and the rule is a person doesn't get malchus for it. And Tosfos explains why that wouldn't apply over here, because here it says bosser and it says shreifa, so therefore it's considered two separate things. Vice versa. Ochol bosom and achai, bosom and atreifa. What about if a person ate meat from a living animal but not a full aver, and he ate meat from a treifa? Little shem and lokish, five shine, little biyachman, and a five alachas. Now it's the other way around. According to Rish Lakish, two malchus because of two different lavim. He learns it from two different sukkim. According to Rabbi Yechanan, only one because he learns it all from one bosom. Ochol avim and achai, bosom and atreifa. But now, if he eats Avim and Achai, and he eats meat from a treifa, and they both agree that those come from two different psukim, so even though he ate them one after the other, and it was all one asra, the divra hakol chayiv shayim, everybody is going to agree that he's chayiv two malchus because he was over, because he was clearly over on two different isra. Okay? So the Gemara says it would mean. Now you're telling me then, though, I have a problem on that. You're telling me that the Shlokish is going to say that in that last case, there's going to be five two Malkus. But the Gemara says it would mean. I have a contradiction on that from another Machlokus Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Ochol Avim and Achai Minat Treifa. Suppose a person ate Avim and Achai from an animal that was already a Treifa. And we'll talk about soon when exactly it became a Treifa. But at any rate, right now it's a Treifa, and then he ate Avim and Achai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv Shayim, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Ein Chayiv Alachas. Rabbi Yochanan says he's going to be Chayiv two Malkus, which Lakish says only once. So B'Shleimel Rabbi Yochanan Nicha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we understand why two, because he was said two different psukim. El Rabbi Shimon Lakish Kasha, but according to Rish Lakish of the Kasha, why is Chayiv only one? If according to him it comes from two different psukim, and in fact on top of that, Rish Lakish himself, we just said that Rish Lakish himself would say that he's Chayiv two Malkus when he ate Avim and Achai, and he ate Bosom and Atzreifa. Why should it be any different over here? So Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef answers. That's the answer. Like Asha Kan Behema Achas Kan B'Shtei Behemas. It depends whether it was all one animal that was Atzreifa, and he ate so it was one animal, and he ate one pea which was Atzreifa, and he ate an Avim and Achai from it. Kan B'Shtei Behemas. On the other hand, with two animals, one kosher and one treifa, so then, even though, so he ate Avim and Achai from one, and then the other one was treifa, and he ate from it, then we're saying he'd be chayiv two malchus. So therefore, so in other words, in short, b'shtei behemas machayiv shtayim, so with two animals, he would be chayiv two malchus, but behema achas pligi, and the machloikus would be only with one animal. Well, the question is, the behema achas, my pligi, well, what exactly is the reasoning behind the machloikus? Why, where it was all one animal, a treifa from which he ate Avim and Achai, why would there be a machloikus? Given again, we said before, these are two different yisurim, then why would Rav Shlokish be saying that he's chayiv only one? So the answer is Omar Abaya. Because we're talking about over here that the animal became a treifa as most of it was coming out of the womb. Now remember, we learned before that when an animal is in the womb, when the baby is in the womb, and then the mother is shechted, then the baby becomes mutter. So while it's in the womb, then treifas are not relevant to it. if you would have shechted the animal at that point, even though you open up the animal and you find the baby inside the womb, and you find that it has one of the defects that makes it a treifa, nevertheless it wouldn't have been osur. Only when it's born does it become osur under the rules of treifa. But the issur of treifa comes into play only when it's actually born. So Tosfos points out, actually, it doesn't actually, strictly speaking, when the Gemara is saying over here that as it's born it becomes a treifa, it means rather it can be that it was even a treifa in the womb, but now it's born. Anyway, the point is that now, the point is that you have the two Isurim that are coming at the same time. So Maris Rabba Behemah V'Chayv. But now you have the question that we discussed yesterday. What do we say about Eiv Menachai while the animal was alive? As far as yesterday we learned about Rabbi Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon, how that point Behemah V'Chayv, Eivorim Emedes, whether an animal is considered to be made up of Eivorim while it's alive or not, and we use that to talk about if a person eats a whole bird, for example, whether he's Chayv for Eiv Menachai. Here we're taking it also in the same, we're taking it in a different way. Marsav of Behemah V'Chayev Eivorim Emedes. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the animal, even while it's alive, is considered that it's already considered that you're already thinking of turning it into Eivorim. And therefore, as soon as it's born, then the issue of Eivor, and so therefore, so the issue of Trefa, the issue of Eivor, Bahadi Kalsu, therefore, the issue of Trefa and the issue of Eivor Menachai come at the same time, and therefore he can be Chayev twice for it. Whereas Rish Lakish hold that the animal is not considered to be already decided that it's going to be cut up into Eivorim. When you shecht it, then yes. So therefore, so Eivor Menachai would apply only if a person actually pulls off an Eivor from it while it's alive. And until then, the issue of Eivor Menachai does not really apply. Well, they also issue Eivor V'Chayi Ala Issur Trefa. So therefore, by now it's already Trefa, and now the issue of Eivor Menachai cannot be Chal on top of it, because any issue Chal al Issur, and therefore the Shlokish is going to say that it's that he's Chayiv only for one thing. Now, with two animals, so that's all with one animal. When it's two different animals, you can't say that, because one of them, he's Ovan Shefa, and the other one is Eivor Menachai of Akshera, and there's no Isur Chal al Isur, and therefore, according to Rishka, that would be why the difference between one animal versus two animals. So in short, then again, Rabbi Yochanan would say it doesn't matter one animal or two animals. Either way, the Isser of Eiv Menachai can be Chal on top of the Isser of Trefa. Therefore, if he eats Eiv Menachai of a Trefa, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that he's Chayiv two Malkus. The Shlokish is going to say, if it's two different animals, and I agree with you, because it's two different Isurim, each animal has its own Isur on it, but when you're talking within the same animal that was Trefa, and you want to say the Isur of Eiv Menachai later should be Chal on it, and Eiv Menachai is not Chal until you actually pull off the limb, according to him, because up to that point, we don't say that the animal is considered to be made up out of Eivorim. So therefore, so you can't say that now the issue of Eiv Menachai can be able to be Chal on top of the issue of Trefa, and therefore the Shlokish would say that it's only one. Therefore, in effect, he's only over only on one lav, and therefore he's going to be getting only one malchus. Tosfos brings up a point that wait a minute, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're saying the only reason why Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the second one will be chal on top of the first one is because of this matter of because of the Hema Bechayel Eivorim Emedes. What about though? Tosfos points out, why don't we say that it should be chal as well, because it's an Isur Moisif. We learned before that when you have an Isur, we learned the point of Rabbi Yehuda, that when you have an Isur that applies to Bnei Noyach, then it's chal on top of another one as well. Why don't we apply that over here as well and say then that since Eiv Menachai applies to Bnei Noach, unlike Trefa does not, then therefore it should be Chal as well. Hagos Ma'arav Ransburg refers over here to something from the Shilas Hashuvas of the Ramah Mifano, who gives an interesting answer about that. He says, given that we find elsewhere, the Gemara tells us that even though the Goyim are obligated in Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, they didn't want to keep them anymore, and therefore Hashem, so to speak, made it mutter to them. He said, fine, you know, you don't want them, you don't have to keep them anymore. Then therefore we can't really say, says the Ramah Mifano, that the fact that something is also to Bnei Noach should be a reason that it should be considered an Isur Moisif for us Jews. There's a note over there from a copyist of the Truva, which is great. So here actually the Maharav Ranshbuk says on that, Divrei Fi Chacham Chayim. This is a very, very, very beautiful words from a Chacham that he gives such an explanation. Although there's a marginal note there printed in the newer edition of the Truvas that says, wait a minute, first of all, that doesn't mean that Hashem was matir the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach to them. It just means as the Gemara explains over there, it means they don't get so much of a scar for doing them, because now they're called not Mitzvah Bnei Noach, so they're not really commanded to do it. They're just doing it voluntarily, and therefore they don't get as much of a scar. That we should say that because of that, it shouldn't be considered an Isur Moisif for us is a little hard to say. But in any case, the Ma'arav Ransburg at least obviously held that it was a very beautiful explanation. In any case, that's the machlokes then, basically. All right. So the Gemara. So those are. So again. we started with by saying that Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish are learning the Isser of Avim and Achai from one Pasuk, the Isser of Bosom and Atreifa from a different Pasuk, and then the Isser of Bosom and Achai, where a person takes off flesh, but not a complete Aver, from a living animal. And again, as we talked about before, you have a bit of a difference between the Rambam and the Raivad about how we define Bosom and Achai. So where do we learn that from? Reb Yochanan holds that's covered under the same pasuk as Avim and Achai. Reish Lakish holds it's covered under the same pasuk as Bosom and Atreifa. And therefore, we said if a person were to eat Avim and Achai and Bosom and Achai, according to Reb Yochanan, it's only one malchus. According to Reish Lakish, it would be two, and vice versa if he eats Avim and Achai and Bosom and Achai, rather the other way around. According to Reb Yochanan, he's learning them from two different pesukim, so two malchus according to Reish Lakish, only one, and vice versa. A Bosom and Achai and Bosom and Atrei. Now, though, we ask again that we have a case where Reish Lakish says that he's chayav two malchus. So now we gave an answer that there's a difference between one animal and two animals. If it's the same animal, which is a treifa, and now also you have Avim and Achai from it, then Reish Lakish is going to say only one malchus because it is only one iser. Because according to him, it's all learned from one pasuk, and because you can't say the isur chal al isur. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, he learns them from two different pesukim, and he's going to say that the one isur is chal on the other. Okay, so now the Gemara gives him a few more answers. We both say, but the kula alma behemim chayyah lav leivorim and that. Yes, we might instead say that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that the animal is not considered to be made up of eivorim while it's alive. So in other words, therefore the isur of eivorim and achai comes into play when the limb is pulled off, but not beforehand. And they would both agree that the issue of treifa came first. The question would be, when they say issue Eva, Mechala, issue treifa, Kamitzvi. So the machlokas is going to be whether the issue of Eva and Achai is able to be chal on top of the issue of treifa. Marsova also issue Eva, Achaila, issue treifa. So the Yochanan holds that it could, even though it was already also as a treifa, nevertheless the issue of Eva and Achai can come on top of that. And the reason might be indeed, as Tosfos says, because it's an Isser Moisif. So again, in the first answer of the Gemara, we wouldn't say that. We would say that only the only reason he says that it can be Chal is because the two of them come together. Now, we're saying you don't have to say that. He could say that even though the Isserim come one after the other, nevertheless, Reb Yochanan will still hold that the one Isser can be Chal on another. Well, by itself, whereas Reish Lakish would hold, the Isser of Eva and Achai cannot be Chal on top of Treifa because he wouldn't even hold that an Isser Moisif is able to be Chal on top of another one, and therefore according to him only one malchus. So that's a different way of explaining it. So now you don't have to say one animal.
What's his logic?
As we learned before, we have different opinions of Tanoim over the last few dachim. When do we say Isur Chal al Isur and when do we not? We have Tanoim who say that an Isur is never Chal on another Isur except in very limited circumstances. We have Tanoim who holds that it can happen that Isur can be Chal on Isur in much more expansive cases. Well then, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.
What's the basis for these Tanoim saying that one Isur doesn't fall on another Isser when the Torah clearly states that each Isser is each Isser?
Each Isser is each Isser, but it doesn't mean that he should be chayav an extra malchus for the second Isser. If something is already Osir, not necessarily. Can you say that it's Osir? Not necessarily. Can you say it becomes more Osir? Now, what you could say is, for example, so 1 second. For example, you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about the idea that, for example, you could have, for example, a person who committed multiple Isurim, where even if we're going to say that for technical reasons the one Isur is not able to be found on another, nevertheless he was over on two Isurim, and for example he's considered to be a bigger Rasha, which is going to have certain implications in Halacha. But in terms of a punishment, we're not necessarily going to say that one Isser is able to be chal on the other to the extent that he should be able to be punished for both.
Is there anything in the Torah that hints to added punishments to each other?
Sometimes, yes.
So that's the thing. So we do have sometimes the Torah will. So sometimes the Torah will allude to us in a way that a person gets. That a person can. Well, here we're not talking so much punishments, actually. No. So when you have, for example, if a person is chayiv misa, you can't kill him more than once. The maximum you can do is if he was over on two aveiros, then you give him the harsher punishment. The Gemara and Sanhedrin derives that from sukkim. Here we're talking primarily about, Malchus, for example. Does he get more Malchus? So one thing is, there are Rishonim who discuss it. One point is, there's a Tosfos Yishonim in Yevamos that says just it's a Svara. Once the thing is also, has it become more also? There's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin that brings that, for example, we talked about the other day, for example, about a person who's Tomei eating Kodshim that are Tomei. Well, you have a similar issue as far as a Koyan who's Tomei eating Truma Tmeya. So now a Koyan who's Tomei who eats Truma Tahoda is going to be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. But if the Truma itself is Tomei, then we're not going to say the Truma of the Koyan is not going to be Chal on top of the Truma. Of the issue of Truma Tmeya. Whatever, you have a number.
That's based on what?
So that's based on that. But the Pasuk says, U'meisivaykiyichalaluhu, and the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin that it means that if a Kohen who's Tomei eats Truma, that's Tmeya, then he's not Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. So then, Tosfos points out over there that we can derive from that this idea of that we don't always say Isu Chalal Isu, just because it was already also to eat before by virtue of being Tmeya, the fact that he himself is Tomei, we don't say Isu Chalal Isu, and therefore he should be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim, so that's a basis for saying that. Okay.
We could say it in other cases.
We often have that we can learn a binyan out from one thing to other things. Whatever. The point is there is such a concept that we can say ein isu chalal isu. There are exceptions to that we've been learning over the last couple of dafim that there are exceptions to it. Isu koilol, isu moisif, isu basachas, etc. So now we're saying over here that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about when the animal is already treifer over here, and now you're going to say even when a chai first comes, because we're going to say behem b'chayer lavla evorim, that the animal is not considered to be made up of evorim as long as it's still intact. Only when an aver is actually pulled off does that issue come into play. Well, then, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say it doesn't matter, and one issue can be chal on the other, because it's an issue moisif, because it applies to Bnei Nayach, and Rish Lakish is going to disagree and say that not.
Rish Lakish doesn't believe in Issur
Chal al Issur, except in other. Rish Lakish may hold of Issur Chal al Issur in some other scenarios, but not necessarily over here.
And why not in this scenario?
Because in this case, he doesn't hold that the fact that it's an Issur Moisif is enough for Issur to be Chal al Issur. Maybe like the Ramani Fano says, because if the only reason to say it's an Issur Moisif is because it applies to Bnei Noyach, but it doesn't really apply to Bnei Noyach, whatever the reason is, he has his Svara. Let's go on. The Gemara says he both say, or you could give another answer. Another answer you could say is the animal is considered to be already when it's alive that the plan is to turn it into a varim, and therefore it means that the issue of Avim and Achai comes first as soon as the animal is born. But we could be talking about where it became Tereifa later on. So until now we were assuming that it was Tereifa from when it was born, that it became Tereifa in the womb or during the birth. Now we're going to say that's the other way around. The first issue of Avim and Achai applied from when it was born, and now later on in its life it becomes a Tereifa. So now the question really again, we may say Issur Tereifa, Chayla Issur Eva Komich. Machoikos is going to be, the Issur of Tereifa be Chal on top of the Issur of Avim and Achai. Bar Sava Ossi B'Chayl. Rabbi Yochanan holds that it will. The second Issur can be Chal on the first one, and the logic would be, the Tosfos elsewhere explains, and the Rosh Yosef brings over here from that Tosfos, that in a way, Tereifa is considered a stronger Issur, because once the animal is Tereifa, there's no way to make it kosher, as opposed to Avim and Achai. Sure, right now it's also because of Avim and Achai, but all you have to do is check the animal, and there won't be a problem anymore. But on the other hand, it's not an Issur Moses or Issur Koyol, and therefore, Omar Savaloyosi Bechayol, therefore, the Shlokish holds that it's not going to be Chal, because here you don't have one of those cases of where we would say that Issur Chal al Issur. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold that, therefore, the Issur of Tereifa is Chal on Avim and Achai, on the Issur of Avim and Achai that existed while the animal was alive, Rish Shlokish is going to hold the Issur applies. Rashi holds that actually the Issur of Tereifa is going to apply only when the animal is actually shechted. So now when the Issur of Avim and Achai goes away, then the Issur of Tereifa comes, and therefore the Shlokish is going to say that, therefore the Shlokish is going to say only one Malchus. That's another answer. Rava Amar, yet another answer. Rava gives yet another answer. Suppose, for example, that he pulled a limb off the animal, and with that limb itself, he made the animal tefach. So Rashi gives an example. We looked earlier in the Masechta, for example, that if an animal's leg is cut off above a certain point, then it becomes a tefach. So now, suppose he did that. Suppose he chopped off the leg above that point. So it was Avram and Achai, and at that moment, it became tefach as well. Well, then we're back to that question of behema, were behema le'evorim emedes or not. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold that behema b'chayeh is not le'evorim emedes. So not like we said before that Rabbi Yochanan might hold that it is le'evorim. Here we're going to say Rabbi Yochanan holds it's not. So Avram and Achai comes up only when you actually pull the limb off. Therefore, you have two Isurim that come at the same moment. He made the animal a Trefa, and he made this Avim and Achai, and therefore two Malkus. Well, Mars covered the Hemim Achaya, Leivorim and Medes, whereas the Shlokish is going to hold that no, the animal is already considered to be made up of Eivorim when it's alive. Even when it's alive, you think of it as eventually it's going to be butchered into Eivorim, and that means the issue of Avim and Achai comes from when it was born. So Avim and Achai came first. Vole Osi, Issu Trefa, Chayla Issu Avim, and he's going to say that the Issu of Trefa is not able to be Chal on the Issu of Avim. The Tiferes Yaakov points out over here that you have a question that can be brought up. I mean, on the face of it, isn't there a point when he cuts through enough of the limb that already it's going to be that already it's going to be Trefa, but then for it to be Avim and Achai, it has to be completely removed from the animal. So the Tiferes Yaakov says, well, that's why Rashi is mentioning the case of the leg over here, because then indeed it becomes Trefa only when it's completely cut off, as opposed to there might be other areas in the body where if you cut through a majority of it, then it's already considered Trefa, and Avim and Achai comes only afterwards. And the Chazanishim, it's a different point. He says that, in fact, when here we can talk about Behema Leivorim and Medes or not, but once you've cut through so much of it that the limb would not regenerate, then you can definitely say Behema Leivorim and Medes, and you can obviously say that the animal is considered to be that now you intend to think of it as Eivorim, because already you're cutting off one Eivor, and already you're most of the way through. Okay, in any case, so we have several different explanations why the Shlokish would say that when a person eats Avim and Achai from a Trefa, then he gets only one Malkus. So we have now a bunch of different answers. And then on the other hand, we're saying if it was two different animals, according to some of these answers, depending on the circumstances, then even Rish Lakish might agree that he gets two Malkus. Okay. More on this topic of Avim and Achai. Omer Abchiba Abba Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Ocho Chelev and Achai min a Trefa, Chai of Shain. If a person eats Chelev from a living animal, which was also a trefa, then he's going to be chai of two malchus. Now, on the face of it, you have three yisurim over here. You have Avim and Achai, chaylev, and trefa. But we're saying he's getting, but Rav Abba is saying he gets only two malchus. So why is that? Omer Rav Ami v'leimah marshalish. So Rav Ami says, shouldn't you say he's chai of three? Shani oimer shalish. And in fact, I say, says Rav Ami, in the name of Rav Yechanan, that in fact he's chai of three. And the Gemara says, it's my nami. And it was said also in the Beis Medrash that Amar Rav Abahu, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ocho Chelev and Achai, Menat Shreif Achai of Shalish. That Rav Abahu reports in the name of Rav Yechanan that in fact in a case like that he'd be chayiv three times. So we have Rav Ami and Rav Abahu reporting in the name of Rav Yechanan that he'd be chayiv for three different Isurin, and therefore three Malkus. Now we have to figure out why Rav Chiya Ba'aba would be saying only two. So the Gemara says again, we can use the same principles as before to answer this. The Maitomithi, so what's the underlying machlokas? So one answer is, like we said before, if you mentioned Nikfraim, it's Yasruba, where the animal became Trefa as it was being born. So as most of it was coming out, or again, as we said before, it could even be that it became Trefa while it was in the womb, but while it's in the womb, the issue of Trefa is not Chal yet. If you were to shech the mother at that point, the baby wouldn't be Trefa. Wouldn't be also to eat, and it becomes also only when it's born. In any case, so again, manda omer shalosh. So then, the machlokas is going to be Rav Ami and Rav Abahu, who hold that he's chayiv three malchus in this case of chelev from a living animal that was a trefa. He's going to say kasavar behema b'chayel la'ivorim and medes. Again, that the issue of Avim and Achai applies even while the animal is alive, even before you took anything off it. Therefore, the Isu Chela, the Isu Eva, the Isu Trefa, the Hadi Agari Kasu. So therefore, all three Surim come into play as soon as the baby is born. As soon as, while the baby was in the womb, the Isur of Chelev would, the Isur of Chelev would not apply. It actually points out, because as we learned earlier, the Chelev, an unborn baby, is, the Chelev of the unborn baby is Mutter. So therefore now when the baby is born, then all those three Surim come into play at the same time. Therefore, Rav Ami is going to say, therefore, the Rav Ami is going to say that he's had that three, there's three malchus, because there's three different Isurim over here. So now, Tosfos points out, actually, that earlier in our Masechta, when we talked about unborn babies in the fourth Perek, the Hema Amatra, we did say, actually, that Rabbi Yochanan had said that if the baby is alive in the womb, nevertheless, if he pulls Chelev off him and eats it, he'd be Chayev. So we see that the Isur of Chelev comes first. So Tosfos says, okay, fine. What it means is the Isur of Trefa and the Isur of Eiv Menachai come into play as soon as the baby is born, and they'll fall on top of the Isur of Chelev, which, after all, you have exceptions to the rule of Chelev, namely that if you shechted the mother and then did not take off any Chelev from the baby and then took the baby intact, then you would be allowed to eat the Chelev. So therefore, we see there's an exception to Chelev, and therefore it's considered a lesser Isur, and therefore the other ones with a stronger Isurim can be chal on top of it. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss different points about that. So we could explain over here that it means, like we said before, that if he pulls Chelev off the unborn baby, it would mean, in other words, that he pulled off Chelev from it in a way that made it straight. Oh, actually, not so much with the chaylev, rather, but before we said that it could be that it's talking about that he pulled off a piece and made it treifa at the same time. Okay, so that would explain Rav Ami's opinion. Umanda Amashtayin, or Chiyav Abba, who says he's chayev only two, Kasava behem v'chayev lav la'imonim avedis. So again, he holds that the animal is not considered to be a vorim while it's alive, so therefore the issue of Eiv Menachai comes into play only later on, when he actually takes it off the animal. The Isur Chelev, the Isur Trefa Eka. So at that point, you already have the Isur of Chelev and the Isur of Trefa, because those come into play as soon as the baby is born. So therefore, the Isur of Eiv Menachai is not able to be Chal on top of that, because he doesn't hold that would be able to be Chal on the other ones, because as you said before, there is logic to say that an Isur should not be Chal on an Isur except in certain cases, and Rabbi Chiya Abba does not hold that this fits within any of these cases. It's not an Isur Kolo, and arguably we can say it's not an Isur Moisif, as we said before, maybe because it doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. Maybe because it no longer applies to Menayah, I think. Okay. So that's one answer. Another answer. Another way you could look at it is they both agree that the animal was not considered to be meant for a Zorim while it's alive, meaning that the issue of Eiv Menachai is not foul as long as the animal is alive and intact. Over Macy, Isu Eva, the Chayla, Isu Chayla, the Isu Dai, Isu Trefa, from if you must focus, would just be fine, but can a later Isu be Chal on an earlier one? Marasava also Chayla, or Ami will hold that it can be, because again, you could argue because it's incumbent on Bnei Noach as well, or Marasava also Chayla, whereas Rabbi Chiya Abba will hold that not, he'll hold that this is one of those rules of Ain Isu Chal on Isu. Yet another answer. Yet another answer. You could say they do both agree, as in the first answer, that the animal is considered, even while it's alive, to be ready to be turned into a varim. So in other words, Eiv Menachai applies from when the animal was born. But as we said before, we don't assume that the baby was born treifa, or to mention that it became treifa later on. And the machlokas again is going to be whether the issue of treifa can be chal on top of it, the issue of Eiv. Mar osava osichayel. Rav Ami will hold that it can, as we said before, as the Rosh Yosef wrote before. If it's Shreifa, in a way, has a Chumra, in the sense that it can never be mutter by Shreita, whereas Eiv Menachai, if you didn't pull an Eiv off the animal, then you shecht it and the whole thing will become mutter. So therefore, it can be argued, therefore, that Shreifa is a stronger Isser, and it should be able to be Chal on the other ones. And he would say, not only that, Midi de Havi Achelev. After all, the same way as we find the Isser of Shreifa is able to be Chal on top of the Isser of Chelev. As we learn in Zvachim, HaTorah Omer, Yovah Isu Nevela, Yochol Al Isu Chelev, V'Yovah Isu Trefa, V'Yochol Al Isu Chelev. that the Torah tells us the issue of nevela or treva is able to be foul on top of the issue of chela. Namely, Rashi explains, the Gemara there in Zvachim explains like this. We know already there's an issue in the Torah to eat chela. Now, the Torah tells us, the chela of nevela, the chela of treva, the Torah tells us, chela of a nevela or a treva can be used for other kinds of work, but ochol lo yisrech luhu, but you can't eat it. So the question is, why should you, what do you mean, you know, you can't eat it? Of course you can't eat it, it's chela. And the point is, the Torah is telling you that in that case, that's one of those examples where one issur can be chal on another issur. The issur of chaylev applied from when the animal was born, whereas the issur of nevela or treifa comes only later on. Nevertheless, there you have an example of issur chal on issur. Well, the same way over here. They're the same way over here. Rav Ami and Rav Abo are going to say that that the issur of that here, this animal was or that chaylev of it was usur from when it was born. It was the Avim and Achai was also from when it was born, because we're going to say behema b'chayel le'ivorim and nedes, that even when it's alive and intact, it's still considered to be made up of Avorim, and so the issue of Avim and Achai applies long before you actually pulled off anything from it. Nevertheless, the same way as Nevela and Treifa can be chal on Chelek, the same way Treifa can be chal on top of the issue of on top of the two Isurim of Avim and Achai and of Chelek. Therefore three months. The Noda Behuda and the Tferes Yaakov point out that before, when we were talking about just Avim and Achaim and Atrefa, we gave the answer of Isur Chal al Isur. We didn't mention this point about over here Atrefa being able to be Chal on Isur Chalev. Why over here? Are we only bringing it over here? And the answer is because we're talking about the Chalev, because we're talking about Chalev over here. So we're talking about Chalev and Achaim and Atrefa. So Rava is going to say that once the issue of Trefa is able to be chal on top of the issue of Chalad, then we're also going to say that it can be chal on the issue of Aver that goes together with it. We wouldn't necessarily say that just because Trefa is able to be chal on Chalad, therefore it can be chal on Aver and Achai by itself, not necessarily. But here, where it's already chal on Chalad by virtue of Rava's point, Yovah Issu Nevela, Yothal Issu Chalad, then therefore we can also say that it's chal on top of the Issu of Avim and Achai as well, which goes together with it. Therefore, altogether, you have three Yisurim, and therefore he's going to be Chayev three Malchus. The Idoch, meanwhile, Rav Chiya Ba'aba is going to say, Achelev Hu Dechayev, you know why, Dechayev, what says on the side, you know why it can be Chayev for, you know why the Issu of Trefa and Nevela can be Chal on top of Chalev. The reason is because Chalev has a leniency to it, the Hutim Mikloloi, because you have an exception to the rule. I said it wrongly before. When you said Hutim Mikloloi before, I was saying that because of the Chalev of an unborn baby is Mutter. No, Hutim Mikloloi is actually because the whole Issu of Chalev applies only to domestic animals. As we've learned a number of times in our Masechta, it doesn't apply to wild animals in the first place, to wild kosher animals. Therefore, we see that Chalev, in a sense, even though it's an Issu of Kares, can be considered a very lenient Issu. Therefore, we can say that the Issu of Nevela or Trefa, which applies across the board to all animals, is going to be Chal on top of it. Aval Aver, the Lehutim Mikloloi, but when you find Avim and Achai, says Rav Chiya Ba'aba, where there's no exception to it, there's no case where Avim and Achai is Mutter, then we're not necessarily going to say that the Issu of Nevela or Trefa could be able to be Chal on it, even when it's in combination with Chalev. So therefore, Rav Chiya Ba'aba is going to say that, so the person ate chalev min achai from a treifa. So no, you do, it's true you have three yisurim over here. And it's true, again, like we said before, from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, we can consider him a greater rosha for being over on three different yisurim. But in terms of Malkus, says Rav Chiya Ba'aba, we're going to say that the issur of treifa is able to be chal on the issur of chalev, fine. You have two, but it can't also be chal on Avim and Achai. It's chayev number three, and the result is he's chayev for only two things. Okay, so that explains the machlokas of whether he's chayev two or three. The Rambam brings the halacha given that we do generally say isur chal al isur in many different cases. Then the Rambam indeed passed over here like Rav Ami and like Rav Abohu that in fact he'd be chayev three for three malchus in this case. Another din talking about Avim and Achai. The Gemara says, "Ki osir of Dini." When Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, he said, and again, as we learned before, we talked about the other day about the Nechusu, for example, you had a certain Chachamim, Rav Dini being one of them, who would regularly travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Babel to bring to the Chachamim of Babel what they were discussing in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and vice versa, and this way they could stay in sync. So now, Rav Dini said that Rav Shimon Lokish Rav Yechanan. Rav Shlokish asked the following question to Rav Yechanan. Chilkoy mibachutz. Suppose a person took this kazayis of Eiv Menachai and broke it in two before he put it in his mouth. And then he ate one half, and then he ate the other half. Mahu, what would be the din? Now, with most Yisurim in the Torah, we know that the shiur can combine together by pieces, as long as he eats it all b'chdeach yelas kras. So do we say that? So for example, let's say when it comes to chaylev, if a person were to eat a half kazayis of chaylev, and then a minute or two later he eats another half kazayis of chaylev, which is within kedach elos pras, then he'd be chayev. He'd be chayev kores or chantas, as the case may be. And the same thing with all other isurim in the Torah when it comes to eating. The question is over here, does the same thing apply? Or would we say that the whole concept of Eiv Menachai is a chiddush. Because after all, normally a person is not chayev for eating bones of gidim. Here, we've been talking about a number of times in this parah that bones themselves don't really have a taste to them, and they're not normally edible. And gidim, we said, the halacha is aimed at gidim in Neusim Tam, that gidim don't have a flavor to them really either, and therefore eating them is considered like eating wood. And therefore we established in this parah, for example, that if a person were to eat a bone of a tsefa, or a bone of a non-kosher animal or whatever, he wouldn't be chayev, let's say. Yet when it comes to Eiv Menachai, we're saying he is chayev, even for the bones and for the gidim. As we learned previously, that for example, you have we had said before, din, that Rabban said that to be chayev for Eiv Menachai, it has to be kazayas, but the kazayas doesn't have to be all flesh. It can be mostly bones and gideon, and only a tiny bit of flesh, like we talked yesterday about a scrawny type of bird called a kalmissa, or something similar to it, and we said that nevertheless he's chayev. So maybe therefore we should say the whole concept of Eiv Menachai is a chidush. So only if he eats it, b'vasachas, one kazayas at a time, then he could be chayev, but otherwise, but not if he does it by halves. Now, according to Rashi, this whole question is specifically about Eiv Menachai. Rabbi Gershom actually says that it's talking about other Yisurim as well. It's talking about, for example, as far as Chelev. So here Rashi is saying about other Yisurim, it's possible that it would apply as long as he ate them. But according to Rabbi Gershom, on the contrary, we're saying the question would apply to other Yisurim as well. Anyway, that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos has a problem with that, because Tosfos says, so the implication is, so Rashi is saying if he divided it and then put one in his mouth and then the other, then the question is whether they combine together. So implying, though, that if he put them both into his mouth, and so he broke it in half, and then put the two pieces in his mouth and swallowed them, vasachas, then everybody would agree. But Tosfos says then, whether the Gemara is going to ask, how is it possible then, according to the Shlokish, for a person to be chayev, for eating Eiv Menachai, what do you mean? A person can easily swallow a kazayas at once. A kazayas is much smaller than a kabetza, and we find in various Gemaras that a person can swallow a kabetza at a time. And Tosfos has some other questions on Rashi. So Tosfos says, now, chilkei mibachutz potter would mean, even if he ate it both at one time, it does have to be that when it's in his, it does have to be that when it enters his mouth, says Tosfos, Rosh Lakish's question is, would we say that when it enters his mouth, it has to be one intact, it has to be one intact Eiv Menachai? So we're gonna say that he's chayev. So fine, in other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least it has to be placed into his mouth all as one piece. According to the Shlokish, it has to be swallowed all as one piece, as one kazayas. So then the question is that, a person could swallow a kazayas at a time, but it's not that easy. It's not that easy to do, even though in principle a person could swallow as much as a kabetz at a time, which is larger, but nevertheless to swallow a kazayas, especially as the Gemara is going to say, for example, that especially an aver, which usually contains both of the gidim atzomis, to swallow it all at one time is not going to be so easy. So that's another way of explaining it. So there's notes from Rabbi Yosef Shalom or Yoshev on Amos Sefer where he points out, in particular, when we say chilkei, that he divided it, it would have to mean he divided it in such a way that each part still contains both of the gidim and tzomos. Otherwise, we're not talking about Eiv Menachai anyway. The whole, as we said before, Eiv Menachai is defined as when the limb contains both of the gidim and tzomos, and they all. And in fact, it still contains all of them. Otherwise, it would be a different issue, as we said before, both of them. Fine. So fine. So that was the question. So if he divided it up outside, So again, according to Rashi, he broke it into two, and then ate one, and then ate the other. Would it combine together because the Chachel is fast or not? And according to Tosfos, the question would be even if he ate it at one time, but doesn't have to be one intact piece when it goes into his mouth. Amalei Potter, so Rabbi Yochanan answers would be Potter, it has to be all one thing. Rish Lakish asked me, "Mifnim mai? What about if it's inside his mouth? What about if it's inside? It's some of the base of the earth. It's towards the back of his mouth where he's about to swallow it, and then he swallows it half, and then he swallows it a half at a time." Amalei Chayev, and Rabbi Yochanan says, "Then he would be Chayev," as the Gemara is going to go on to explain. Okay, so that was Rabbi Dimi's report of how Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan have this discussion. He also Robin Amar, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, and we often find in Shas that Dimi would bring a first version of what happened, and then Robin would come later on and clarify. So he also Robin Amar, Chilkim Bachutz Kotter. No, if it was divided outside, then everybody would agree it's Kotter. But if he divided it inside his mouth, so not like Rabbi Dimi's version, where Rabbi Yochanan tells him Chayev, and that's that, actually there would be a Machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Chayev, Rish Lakish Omer Potter. That Rabbi Yochanan would say he's Chayev, but Rish Lakish would maintain that in that case also he's Potter. Why Rabbi Yochanan Omer Chayev, Hare Nena Groina Bekazayas? Rabbi Yochanan would say he's Chayev, because after all, his throat enjoyed a kazayas, because there he tasted it. So where was he chayav primarily for tasting it? Well, at that point, it was still an intact, because at that point, it was still intact kazayas. We don't care that afterwards, before he actually swallowed it, it got broken up. Nevertheless, he's going to be chayav. But Rish Lakish, I'm a potter. Whereas Rish Lakish is going to say he's potter, because actually the may have been in, because we need this, the food should be in his stomach when it actually goes in, when it passes the point where he swallows it and goes in and starts going into his digestive system. It has to be a kazayas. It has to be intact. The leka in here you don't have because it's in pieces. Okay. So in fact, I heard the Chassam Sofer point, the Chassam Sofer and Binyan Siyan point out that Rashi explains literally, Achila B'Meyav means literally, Yodel B'Seth Meyav, going down into his stomach. It's supposed to be a Shir Achila. That helps answer Tosfos, that helps answer one of Tosfos' questions. Tosfos had wondered, that Tosfos had wondered, what do you mean? How is it, why should there be a difference whether he swallowed them one after the other? And no, after all, there is a kazayas in his stomach before it gets digested. But no, Rashi is going to learn that Rish Lakish is going to say you actually have to have, when it starts entering Meyav, his stomach, it has to still be a complete kazayas at a time. Well, you might ask, Elul of Shimon Lakish, Shechem Ashkachos Ladimachayev. Well, then how are you going to find, according to Rish Lakish, that he's going to be chayav? In the first place, for eating Avim and Achai, or according to Rabbeinu Gershom, that the question is more generally about, Isurim. So in other words, so Rashi explains, because a person can't swallow a kazayas, the whole thing that he ate and swallow it all at once. Here's where Tosfos wonders, why not? It's perfectly possible to swallow a kazayas at one time, but the question is that a person normally eat, or that normally eating involves that he chews it, and then it's not a full kazayas anymore. So now it's not an intact kazayas when it goes through his throat and when it goes down to his stomach, and therefore going to the shlokish, how would he be chayev? And the answer is Amar Kana b'grumisa ze'erta, because you're talking about, for example, a small bone. Rashi describes specifically there's a small bone in the thigh. There's a little bit of flesh in it, and there's boss of the gidim batzomers. So you have altogether it's a kazayas, but most of it is made up of gidim batzomers. But people don't chew it, probably because the gidim and atzomers are too hard to chew anyway. They just swallow it whole. So then you have a case where you actually have a kazayas going down past his throat and into his stomach all at one time. So in other words, in a case like that, Rish Lakish would hold that he's chayev. And in other cases, you're right, Rish Lakish might well hold that he's potter because it was already divided up before it ever reached his throat or before it ever reached his stomach. Okay. That was Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and then we have a third opinion. Rabbi Loza Omer, Afilu Chilkim Lachutz Nami Chayev. Rabbi Loza says, even if he divided it outside his mouth, even if he did break it up into pieces, then also he'd be Chayev. Mechusav Kri, the Lavka Mechusav Ma'isav Yomi, because just because the fact he hasn't put them together in his mouth at the same time is not considered a lack of Ma'isa, so we don't consider it as though he ate only half a Kazayas. The fact is, between the two actions of eating, he ate a Kazayas, and it was B'chdeachelos Pras, and therefore we're not going to consider that he only ate a part, and he should be Potter. Instead, we're going to say that he's going to be Chayav, that he's going to be chayev as long as he ate the two half pieces of it. So the Chassam Sofer explains, Rabbi Elazar will say that if you had in front of him a half kazayis and then he ate it, and then later on they brought another half kazayis and he ate it, then fine, we're going to say that then we would say normally by other isurim it would apply, and if Yichayev Eidman Achai, we would say is a chidush, because the fact that Eidman Achai applies to Bosser and to Gidim and Atzomis as well, which usually it doesn't to other isurim, and therefore we would say that by Eidman Achai you'd have a special din that is potter. But here he had it all in front of him, and it was only Mechusav Kriva. They had to be put together, one next to the other. Then we don't say, says the Chassam Sofer, that to say that therefore we should patter him because of the chidush of Eidman Achai, we're not going to say that, and he is in fact going to be chayev. So the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Elazar in that regard, and therefore in fact he would be chayev even though he ate it piecemeal. There also you have something where the Raivad doesn't really like that explanation that if he divided it up, that it should still be considered Eid Menachai. It might be maybe reconsidered Bosom Menachai. And there's discussion about the details of that. So actually, what the Rambam says is that he takes an Eid Menachai and eats it. The Rambam actually learns a little different. Learns the Gemara a little differently over here. He explains that. So again, if he broke up the Eiver piece by piece, if what he had, then we don't say Eid Menachai anymore. Then we have to see with the Gezayis and meat on it, and he'll be Chayim, and if not, he'll be Potter. On the other hand, if he took a bus of Gidim Atzomis, even though now the Rambam learns Chilke Machot and Chilke Bimfnim would mean that he broke it up inside his mouth. So that would actually be considered mibachutz. It would be considered outside, meaning before he swallowed it. And nevertheless he's chayev because it was even though it was broken up in his mouth. Actually the Magen Mishnah points out over there that actually the Rambam is passing like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rabbi Elazar. More on this topic of eating, as far as kazayas when it comes to eating, and here also we have a machlokas whether we're talking about dafta eidman achai or whether we're talking about other stream that Rambam is going to bring these dinim, that the following dinim that we're going to learn as far as macholas asuras in general. On the other hand, the Torah Chaim learns that Rashi is going to explain that here also we're talking specifically, we're continuing to talk about eidman achai. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shimon, Kazayis Shamru." When we talk about a person as chayev for eating a kazayis, puts mishal ben ashinayim. That excludes what got stuck between his teeth. But Rabbi Yechonan Amar Afin ben ashinayim. Rabbi Yechonan says you would also include what's stuck between his teeth as well. Now Rashi points out, Rabbi Yechonan would agree that what's stuck between the teeth shouldn't count together. So what do you mean though? If it's between the teeth, we said before that he didn't have hanah, his throat didn't have hanah from it, his stomach didn't have hanah from it. Why should he be chayev? So that's the Gemara explains. That the Amar Papa, the Shalben Ashinayim, the Kol Amalek Ziggy, if we actually mean stuck between the teeth, then there's no machlokas. Even Rabbi Yochanan would hold that it doesn't combine because there's no taste from it, and there's no taste, and there's no nourishment from it. Rashi, in fact, brings a pasuk, the cheich oichel yitam loy, that the palate finds the food tasty. So therefore, only when it touches the palate does the person feel the taste of it and enjoy it. But that's closer to the beis ablia, that's closer to the back of the throat, not when it's still stuck between the teeth. So kipsigi bin achenichai. So machlokas would be what stays stuck to the roof of his mouth. So there at least the taste of it. But on the other hand, he didn't actually eat it. My sober, nanam joined a kazayas. Well, then Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold that after all this quote, enjoyed a kazayas. So therefore we said, man, he swallowed most of it. So therefore we can include this bit that got stuck in his got stuck on his palate and count that as well. No, you have to have that the food actually went completely into his stomach. And as long as you don't have a full kazayas that went into his stomach, then you can't be mechayev him. Rabbi Yochanan points out in those notes of his on Chulin that a related point is what about as far as Birkas Hamazon? So then even Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree there that it shouldn't apply unless he actually swallows the whole thing, because there you have the Achalt of a Savata. And then what about the flip side of it? What about if he swallowed it without chewing it? Would he be chayev or not? That's another matter as well. So you have different points that Achronim bring up in this connection about how the dinim that we just mentioned, how they would relate to dinim of Birkas Hamazon. More dinim about kazayis of an Isur. And again, are we still talking about Eiv Menachai, or are we talking about different other Isurim as well, as also a subject to the same machlokas as before? So the Gemara says, Bar Rabbi Elazar ben Menabas. I skipped the line. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ocho chatzi zayis. If a person ate a half kazayis of Isur, so again, whether we're talking about Eiv Menachai specifically, or whether we're talking about more generally Isurim, he ate a half kazayis, the hekiyoi, and then he threw it up, the chos of ocha, chatzizayis achar, and then he ate a different half kazayis. So Rabasi says chayev. So he'd be chayev because after all he ate a kazayis. So the question is, my time, or why? And the answer is, I didn't end up growing him a kazayis, because again, his throat enjoyed the taste of the two kazayis, of an entire kazayis. Meaning, in other words, that, fine, each one was eaten half, was eaten separately, but nevertheless, altogether, he did eat a kazayis. Now, Rashi points out, first of all, Rav Asi would necessarily have to be arguing with what we said before, and that Rav Dini and Rodin had reported in the name of Rav Yochanan that if he divided up the Eva Menachai, then he would be potter. So now it would come out that Rav Asi is clearly disagreeing with that, because here he's saying that he's chayav. Again, if we say that before they were talking about Eva Menachai, and here we're talking about other Yisurim, then he's not necessarily disagreeing. Rashi also goes on to say, I mean, the fact is that he tasted two half kazayim, and again, it was before the stress. As far as the fact that his stomach didn't enjoy it, that doesn't matter. It's true, he only enjoyed altogether half kazayim, because by the time the second half kazayim comes in, the first one is already out, that doesn't matter. In other words, if we were to say that we go according to Hanas Meir, that we have to go according to the Hanah of his stomach, then he wouldn't be chayev, because the fact is he doesn't have a kazayis in his stomach right now. But since we go according to him tasting it, and he tasted a whole kazayis, then we don't care that it was one after the other. So here is also actually that Maharshal points out what forces Rashi to say specifically we're talking about Eiv Menachai over here, and to say that he's arguing with the and to say that he's arguing with Amarayim before. Why don't we say that it applies to other Yisurim as well? And then he's not contradicting them. Then they were talking about Eiv Menachai, and he's talking about other Yisurim. Rabbi Yoshua over there gives an answer in his Aris and in his Aris on Chulin. What forces Rashi to say that? Basically, because the context of it here all this time we've been talking about is Eiv Menachai. So the Gemara says, "My Kamei Barilei." Well, what was Rabbi Lozer's question? So the Gemara says, "My Kamei Barilei." Rabbi Asi had said that if he ate a half kazayis and threw it up, and then ate a different half kazayis, then he'd be chayev, because ultimately he did taste the kazayis. But then Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Asi, what about if it was the same one? He ate a half kazayis, then he threw it up, because of ochloi, and then he ate that same half kazayis again. Mahu, what would be the thing? Would we say that he's chayev now for having eaten a kazayis or not? So the Gemara says, "My Kamei Barilei." Well, what exactly was the question? he have it equal, Eli have it equal, Eli have it equal. Are we saying that his question is whether when he swallowed it, is it considered already digested or not? And therefore now when he throws it up, it's not considered food that he should try anymore. Now, equal normally means complete digestion. Here we don't mean it's not completely digested, but we just mean, in other words, that it was eaten, and therefore already it's a, we don't mean that. We just mean, in other words, that it was already swallowed and therefore not considered food anymore. Well, then why is he asking about that? He brought the kazayas. Then he could ask about the same thing. He posted about a whole kazayas. Person ate a kazayas, threw it up, and then ate that same kazayas again. Would he be getting malchus for eating it twice, or would he be getting malchus only for eating it the one time? Why, doctor, is he asking about in terms of half position? Ella, no, Rabbi Lazar's question, you can say, is Ibosa Groina as women, Ibosa Meyav as women. You're going to say that his question is whether you go according to the fact that his throat had hana, that he tasted a whole kazayas. Well, then you could argue that maybe he did, because each time he tasted a half a kazayas and it was a back of his class, and it counts as one full kazayas. Ibosa Meyav as women, do we go according to his stomach, and his stomach then enjoys only half a kazayas, because by the time the second half kazayas comes in, the first one is out. Well, then, what's he asking? Then he should be able to answer that based on what Rav Asi already said, where he ate a half kazayas and then threw it up and then ate a different half kazayas, and we say that he's chayev because we follow Hanos Groina. We don't care about Hanos Meyav. So it's clear from Rav Asi's statement that we don't care about Meyav. We care only about Groina, what he tasted. Well, in that case, then that would answer this question also. The fact is, he did have Hanos Groina from an entire kazayas. What happened was, the Gemara says, Rav Asi Gemara I Achlavei. What happened was, Rav Elazar knows the answer. Rav Elazar didn't really need to ask the question. But what had happened is, Rav Asi had forgotten what he had learned. Rav Asi had forgotten, so he knew that both, he knew that Rav Elazar, that he and Rav Asi had both learned from Rav Yochanan that even if he eats the same half kazayas again, he would be chayav. Now Rav Asi had forgotten. So for us, Rav Elazar Leib Kure. So now Rav Elazar came to remind him, but he didn't want to openly tell him you forgot. So he asked him in a way because of his cover. So he asked him. So he tells him, why did you say the din about you said the din before in the name of Rabbi Yochanan when he ate a different half kazayis and you're saying that then he's chayev lema ma b'didei? Why don't you say that the din would apply even if he ate the half kazayas again itself, that he threw it up and then ate it again, the ikala mishmav and etarti. And then you would be able to derive two points from that. Shamin and Manon delay have it equal. We would see from that the fact that he swallowed it is not considered that now it's digested and it's not food anymore. And you also see the point that his throat enjoyed a kazayas and therefore, And then we don't care the fact that his stomach ends up with only half kazayas in it. But now you're saying a different half kazayas, so fine, that tells us the second din, but why don't you say it the other way so that we can derive the first din as well? Ishtik, midi, and then Rav Asi was quiet, didn't say anything, because that still didn't jog his memory to remember what Rav Yochanan had said on the stomach. Amalei, so Rav Elazar said to him, Moifes Adur, you wonder of the generation. Now she brings, like, Avon Kosk, Anshin Moifes Hema, people of wonder, like unique people in the generation. So he tells it, he has to tell him flat out, given that Rav Asi had not remembered, then Rav Zera has no choice but to tell him explicitly. Loi Zimnin Sagin Amr Kamed Rav Yechanan, wasn't it many times that you said in front of Rav Yechanan this statement about that even the half kazayas, the same half kazayas itself, he'd be chayav. For Amalach, and Rav Yochanan explains to you and explain that the reason is kazayas. The fact is his stomach enjoyed a kazayas. The fact is his throat enjoyed a kazayas, and we don't care about the fact that he ate it and threw it up and ate it again, because the fact is it's still the second time he eats it. It's not actually digested, as we called it equal before, but it's not really digested. The fact is it was only swallowed and then regurgitated, and therefore now you can say the second time indeed he enjoys the taste of it again, and therefore altogether he enjoyed the taste of a kazayas, and therefore that would be a reason to be mechayev him, because altogether there was a kazayas of it. There is a Tosfos Yeshanim elsewhere that points out that you have, when we touched, we had actually a din about this earlier in our Masechta, that if a person threw it up and somebody else ate it, then we can talk about whether and whether the other person is higher or not. There the difference is that the other person, if he knew that another person had swallowed it, then he would find it disgusting and he wouldn't eat it. So there can be a distinction between whether he knows or not. Here we're talking the same person, so therefore if he himself doesn't mind eating it, then we can still be machai of him, even though each time it was only half his eyes, and even though his stomach ends up with only half of his eyes, because after all, he ate the half kazayas twice, and therefore there's reason to say that he's chayav because he ate a full kazayas.